Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
Tony, everyone in the studios here bopping their heads to our music. That's as close as we get to music radio. Rich Kasten over here, your host for Buckhead Business Radio, and we have a great new episode here in the studio. Well, I guess it's a good idea that we're live and we have a new episode. We wouldn't want to just have the same conversation we had last week unless it was Groundhog's Day. But kids are getting ready to get back into school, or before you know it, it'll be fall right around the corner. But besides weather and school reports, we're going to be talking business, which is perfect since we're business radio. And I have a panel of experts here joining us in the studio from all different perspectives. But let's just kind of say hi and welcome to our guest, first of all, and we'll jump into some interviews. And so Linda Godwin, you're here, or Linda Martin, you're the co-founder of Godwin Growth Works and a professional EOS implementer.
Actually,
that's a long title.
Yeah, it's actually Goodwin Growth Works.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm reading it and saying Godwin. Yeah,
I liked that name. It's actually an old family name. Okay. I started my office in the old family home on Peachtree in Brookhaven, and I liked Good Winds.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Yeah.
So.
Okay, and I'll just go ahead and introduce you to our listeners here. You're a business consultant, passionate about helping businesses owners get more profits, time, and freedom in their hard work. Real-world guidance comes from your experiences as a business owner, plus your wisdom gained from a diverse background, and we'll be talking about that. It includes corporate marketing, human resources, accounting. 20 years, helped over 100 small businesses. That's a lot in 20 years, yeah. Business leadership teams and uses the entrepreneurial operating system to help your clients offer them simple and practical tools to get control of their company and their lives. So what were you doing in a former life, or how did you kind of stumble into this, I guess?
You know, when you're working in a small business, my extended family had a lot of small businesses. And I always wondered why Uncle Jack was so happy and Great Aunt Elizabeth was so not happy. They both seemed really successful, but yeah. I wanted to know what the difference was. So I went on to college and decided I would go the corporate route. And I learned, oh my gosh, they use like systems and meetings and processes and planning.
Right.
And so then I thought, well, this would really help small businesses, but it's so complicated. So I went and got a master's in human resources development, which is about how to get the best out of people,
right,
and started applying that to small businesses in the mid-90s.
Okay. You kind of struck a chord. Is that you do, it, even in the building, and there's people like, they seem to have a lot on their plate, but you wouldn't know it by their kind of carefree, a lot of pep in their step, whatever, right? And then other people just seem to be just overloaded, overwhelmed, right?
Right. It can really, as an entrepreneur, you can feel very, very alone.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we kind of hit on a couple of the points, but what do you feel is the biggest frustration for these type folks?
The EOS Worldwide, which is the system that I use, the entrepreneurial operating system, we actually surveyed several thousand entrepreneurs, and they said 82% of them said our biggest frustration is people. They don't do what we want to do. We can't, what we want them to do. We can't find good people. When we do find somebody we think is going to be a great performer, they don't perform.
Yeah, I was just having this conversation this morning. We just interviewed some new, potential interns. And these are folks that are, willing to come in and work for free, right? As an unpaid internship. But I just don't feel like it's a good fit, whatever, right? And so, you do need that, whether you're intern or hiring or however, what a capacity. What are some criteria that you feel are good traits or attributes for entrepreneurs and themselves as well as working with other people?
Well, there are three things that I really advocate. And I mean, seriously, write these down and apply them tomorrow and your world will get better if you're having trouble with your people.
Okay.
Number
one. I'm ready.
One.
I'm rolling
All
the
right.
sleeves. I got
All
my
right.
ink
I
pen
see
here.
That. That's great. So number one, make sure they share your core values. Now, of course, that means you need to know your core values.
That's what I'm saying. You have to identify those. Yeah. Because you do. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that's another thing is that like a lot of that probably frustration because you're not on the same page.
Right.
And you're like, why isn't this person doing that? Well, you haven't really expressed to them your mission.
Yes, and take the time to dig deep about what those core values are.
Oh man, is this going to hurt? Is it going to be painful?
I've done this with a lot of teams, and they'll say, "But we already did that. We've got our core values." And I'll say, "Okay, well, let's put them up on the board. But then let's go through my discovery process, and let's put those up on the board." And they'll go, "Oh, those are more real."
Yeah.
About who we are. So you've got to hire people who fit your core values, or you're just going to fight with them all the time.
Right.
And then number two, this is one people hate. Have regular meetings.
Oh, I love meetings.
Yeah, you and everybody else right. in the world.
Oh, you picked up the sarcasm there?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry about that.
Heard it before.
I'm going to get that bumper sticker, love meetings. Okay.
If you do good meetings, productive meetings, and I really teach people how to do that, but the meeting gives you a chance to monitor progress, to give and receive feedback. Haha, got to listen, and to create a dialogue. Because the number three thing, and this could also be considered number one, is to be very clear about setting expectations. We have in our heads what we want, but how we explain it to people is often lacking. If you've ever tried to teach a teenage boy to unload a dishwasher, you probably know what I mean. It seems so obvious. Or teach someone to drive.
Right.
So setting clear expectations, you know, using structured roles, using scorecards, using accurate descriptions, and then you put that into the meetings. And if they have your core values, now you've got all that human energy going in one direction and magic happens.
I think that's another challenge is this idea of expectations, of being able to communicate them. You know, you kind of have the sense of where you're going, but sometimes that's a challenge I have, is kind of communicating, expressing, and being on that, again, on that same page with folks who work here at the studio.
And I love working with really talented, bright people, the kind of people that give other people headaches because they're like whirling around so fast.
All right.
And I often find that, you know, I just have to slow them down
right.
and say, "Now, what is it you want me to do?" Well, that's so obvious. No, it's really not.
Right. Now, if we were traditional media, Linda, we would have taken that as a soundbite out of context and a splice and dice it. And Linda would have said, "I love working with people that cause other people headaches." Right? But we're not that kind of show. So back to meetings is, I was talking to the sales director recently and their big emphasis is what they call, you know, stand up meetings or mm-hmm. walking meetings. And so they say typically when you're in a standing meeting, it ends up only being about 15 minutes, right? And it's much more productive because you have that sense of, you know, if you sit down, people can sit all day, right?
Stand-up meetings are a great way to do like a daily check-in.
Right, yeah.
We also advocate a weekly meeting of the leadership team, which always makes everybody groan when we say they fight them and then they start fighting for them.
Yeah.
If you use the proper structure, you want to devote most of your meeting to solving problems because that's why you have all this brain trust around the table.
So on this point of meetings, what are some, you know, structure or some, what are some key points of an effective meeting at, along that line?
Well, the best meeting structure I've ever seen is the one we use at EOS. And we start with a basic reporting function, but nobody's allowed to say anything more than "I'm on track" or "I'm off track."
Oh, that would be a problem for me.
And if they say off track or on track, they can say, "I need to talk about something with this," and we have an issues list that we drop down to the second half of the meeting.
Okay.
So by the time you get to the second half of the meeting, you've got all the issues people want to talk about, and you can prioritize. Let's pick the top one. The biggest list we've ever had was 75 issues.
Dang.
But you can't get through all those in, you know, so you prioritize, you pick number one, and then there's a specific process for getting through the issues.
So let's go back to values. That's, you know, culture is a big, it didn't seem like it was as much of an issue in the past, right? Because people just kind of stayed with the same company. But now it's not unusual to hear people say that while money, and speaking of HR, money is certainly an issue, but a lot of people are drawn to the dynamic of a company. And, you know, it feels like you have to have a bigger mission other than how many widgets did we produce this month.
Absolutely. Right. And, you know, we've got this multi-generational workforce right now. What will draw them together is being inspired by something bigger than themselves.
Right.
And it can be, it doesn't necessarily have to be social work kind
right, yeah,
of stuff,
right,
but it has to, you know, beat Nike right is a famous mission, you know, so
right
for competitive people.
Yeah.
That's a culture for competitive people.
Okay, yeah. So it goes back to identifying your culture and then hiring those folks that align with that, right? Because not everybody functions well in a competitive environment, like you explained.
Yeah, don't try to be all things to all people.
We know that where that gets you, right? That gets you back to where you're overwhelmed. Yeah, speaking of, we began the interview with this thought of, I feel this sometimes, you're just like, you're just pulled in so many different directions, and there's so many great projects that I have, you know, that I work on. But I guess it comes back to focus, but it's also, I mean, how would you, you know, advise someone that is spinning so many plates and they feel overwhelmed?
I wish there was a magic wand for that.
Right. There's not an app for it, maybe?
Yeah. There are a lot of apps
exactly
for it. I'm not sure they work.
Well, that's part of the problem, right?
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah,
we're just overstimulated.
So I start by thinking about it as managing energy rather than time.
Okay.
That opens things up. And then that having an interlocking system, and this is what I love about EOS, is it's an interlocking system that addresses that overwhelm from a number of different perspectives. So everything from knowing what your core values are, so you're not wasting time chasing somebody that is brilliant but doesn't fit your culture,
right,
to having everything on the issues list, including opportunities, things I'd like to do someday. And then you pick the top three priorities. Don't try to prioritize the whole list. That's a waste of time.
Right. Yeah.
Pick the top three, go through those, then go on to the next three. And as you pull one out, some of that overwhelm begins to simmer down.
Right. I mean, do you get into, advising people on some of that minutia of like, when to handle their emails and when you talk about prioritize, what boxes to put these categories in? I mean,
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We have three meetings in 3 months all day where we're really working on getting the system in place. But then every quarter when we're meeting, we're spending half the day solving issues. There's definitely some of that time management, energy management teaching that goes on. But then every quarter, if somebody wants to do a deeper dive into that, we'll put it on the issues list and we'll just spend an hour on it.
Right. You've mentioned this entrepreneur operating system. What are some key components?
Well, there are six key components that we say if you strengthen those, your business will get out of overwhelm. The 137 yeah things that are coming at you every minute will begin to calm down.
Yeah, my goal is to be one day be underwhelmed.
Exactly. That's a great goal.
Right.
That is a great goal, Rich.
Right.
Yes.
All right. So, I mean, so you have a, you know, diverse background, like we mentioned. Who are some of your, you know, clients that you work with?
I work with, I don't like to name the clients because it's
okay
a little bit like counseling, you
right,
know,
right,
something. But I've worked with architects, builders, lawyers. I have a client that designs hospitals. I'm trying to remember. I have a client that does financial planning. Their firm does financial planning. So mostly business to business
right
professionals.
Okay.
And then I seem to have a yen for the building trades, maybe because I have people in my family that do that too.
Yeah. I mean, that's, it's like there's so many things that go on, but, people that design hospitals, you wouldn't think of that as like, you don't meet those at networking events. So what do you do for a living? Yeah. Design hospitals. Somebody's got to do it, right?
It's an intensely technical. From the kind of floor covering to, I mean, it's intensely technical. It's got to be beautiful and healing and infection resistant.
Yeah. There's a joke in there somewhere, but I won't go there. Yeah. All right. So, lots to talk about here. You're listening to Buckhead Business Radio. We're talking to, Linda Martin. She's a co-founder of Goodwin Growth. All right. And, so tell our listeners the best way to reach out and get in touch with you.
Go to goodwingrowth.com. And if you do a backslash and checkup, you can take a brief survey that will give you feedback on how well your business is running and where your strengths and weaknesses are.
Okay. Well, thanks for being on the show. Stick around. We'll have some additional follow-up questions for you as well.